This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, I firmly am convinced that our God is a God of order. And basically that means that there is an order to the universe, an order by which we can even and must organize our very lives. And we put our lives in order either instinctively or by means of the revealed teachings of the Church. And if those lives are not lived in this order, by not living with God and under God, then we will suffer. And we will suffer the consequences, and that usually means death. Now, where does all this order come from? Well, it comes from the very nature of God, who speaks a word into the void from his own being, reflecting his own being, and he brings the universe into being. That's the last gospel in the Latin Mass. It's the first chapter in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is the Son of God, Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, through whom the world came into being. The whole universe is patterned after Him, after God. And in this sense, there is a way that the universe is, and a way that we must be in the universe. The universe cannot be other than it is. Now, people often think, you see this in the paper all the time, that the more science discovers about the universe, the less can we believe in God. Actually, it's really quite the contrary, because the universe, as we learn more and more of its laws and its incredible complexity, and the way it goes on and deeper, the more do we find God, the more do we discern His hand of creation and His presence in the least smallest part of the universe. The universe and all that is in it is good. It will always be good because it springs from the good being whom we call God. Things are not good because God declares them to be good. That's what the Muslims would say. It just kind of comes in with this extrinsic law. Things are good because they correspond to the very being of God. For example, when we see something as beautiful, we're delighted with it because it corresponds to the beauty of God. And it helps us understand our world and helps us understand our place in the world and who made it. Or when we experience something that's happy, we're glad because that's good for us. And it helps us fulfill our lives and bring us to our destiny. When we experience love or loyalty or faithfulness or permanence in our home between our fathers and our mothers, that helps us to understand life and how precious life is. When our world and when our life is like God, then life is happy and whole and holy. We know this by instinct, by revealed teaching, and even by our experience. Everything reflects the being and the order of God. Our lives, our bodies, ourselves, our families, our relationships, even the way we govern ourselves. Our life and our way of life is like God, and it'll be lovely and lively, or it's without God, and it will be disastrous and deadly. Wherever there are tears and hardship, wherever there is violence and crime and poverty and hunger and sickness, where there is disloyalty and betrayal, where there is selfishness in the pursuit of luxury, it's precisely because there is no God, and because there's no God, there's no order. Where our life is off kilter, skewed, broken, is because it is outside the order of God. And we all saw a couple weeks ago in the paper in Chicago, in one weekend, there were 22 people wounded and 9 killed. In 2 days later, like Tuesday, there were 12 more people wounded, all in assaults and gun battles and stabbings. 45 people in about 3 days being shot or stabbed, with around 10 of them dying from their wounds. And then, almost as if to crown the summer's violence, we've been treated the last few days to the story of the young scientist in Colorado who came into a theater dressed in riot gear and assault weapons and killed a woman and almost 100 people, when you think about it. Almost 100. You see these examples of gangbanger violence and mass murder in Colorado? They are not unrelated. They really aren't. Because I think they spring from the same deadly source that touches all of us and influences all of us and hurts all of us. And some of us more than others. And that, of course, is our common culture. Now, when I say culture, I mean that around which our lives revolve. Culture means that around which we are concerned, or that about which we are busy. Culture is what interests us, what drives us, about what we think, about how we move and have our being. And there can be good culture, and there can be bad culture. And if our culture, that which we are interested in, does not contain God in any meaningful way, and if our culture falls down and worships that which is twisted and perverse and deadly and dark and evil, then there will be some among us who will act out that culture. To the degree that our lives are ungodly, then to that degree those lives will be disordered and broken and hurtful. Now, I think we have, as a culture, now when I talk about culture this time, I'm talking about modern, Western, democratic, secular culture. This is what we live. And it's just not just the United States, it's Europe, it's Latin America, wherever we're modern and hip and Western. Modern, Western, democratic, secular culture has spent years, or decades, or even centuries, creating a way of life that does not involve God or God's laws. And we are proud of it. We don't let religion have a voice in how we run our country. We say that all the time. And how proud we are to make every effort to separate faith from policy, religion from country. And we celebrate this great divorce between faith and our public life as the very thing that makes us so wonderful and exceptional. We have separated our public and political and artistic lives from God, and we have therefore created a climate and a culture where God is not present. And since He's not present, neither does His order prevail. And so is it any wonder that all around us everything seems to be collapsing? Our families, our churches, our neighborhoods. Because if there is no God, if He does not count, if He means nothing to the way we live our lives, then there is no order to the way we live our lives. And life becomes so cheap, because there's nothing to give it value, that you simply eliminate it when it causes you inconvenience. No regret, no guilt. Whatever is in your way can be swatted down. If some life in your life is an inconvenience to you, then throw it under the bus. Kick it to the curb. Your wife, your babies, your kids, take them out. Go ahead, get rid of them. What is the lesson taught by every pro-abortion politician? That life is disposable. Don't let your dreams of fun be ruined by having a baby. What is the lesson taught by every no-fault divorce lawyer? That there's no such thing as loyalty and love, so get rid of her. What's the lesson taught by every merchant who sells Game Boy and PlayStation? That life is a cipher on a screen and killing is fun and heroic. If there is no God, then there is no order, and we will have nothing to show for our lives but the pop-pop of another person being shot and the dull thud when he falls to the ground. Okay, so what do? We live here in this godless culture. We didn't ask for all this murder and mayhem, but we sure got it. So what do? All I can think of is that first of all, we just cannot cooperate with it any longer. We can't live life like the rest of them out there anymore. We have to be different, and our lives have to be different, significantly different. We cannot say to our children or our grandchildren, well, it's okay today not to go to Mass. We cannot say, well, maybe today we don't have to eat supper together. We cannot say, well, just a little screen violence is okay, as long as they don't kill too many people. We cannot say, well, a little texting at supper is okay. We cannot be part of this disordered culture. And if we cannot change it, and I really don't think we can, I think it's too far gone, we're going to have to be the remnant in that first reading. We're going to have to isolate ourselves and protect ourselves from it by praying, by going to Mass relentlessly, constantly, by refusing to get involved with this culture's music, its media, its TV and cinema, pull out of all that silly social communication stuff they're always talking about, Facebook and Twitter, where we can have thousands of anonymous friends, friends we don't even know, to whom we communicate nothing. Toss away the devices, the iPods and the iPads, whatever. We can no longer be complicit in the attitudes and the behavior of a culture that has no God, because then it has no order, and it will spread its disorder into our hearts and fog into all of our minds if we continue to be involved with it. And this culture of disorder is a culture of death, surely. In the wake of all the violence this summer, perhaps we can understand that our God is a good God who creates order in our lives and therefore happiness and fulfillment, but anything less than God, well, that is, well, deadly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.